13th win in a row. Absolutely incredible starts and look, I think if he gets this one, then we'll certainly be hearing the drums for Fernando. But hey, look, let's not overlook the other greyhounds in this race. It's a quality packed field. I've got a sneaky feeling that Elfin Bale in box three could spring a surprise, you know. But look, it's not just about the Peter Mosman at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. There's other great races as well. Plenty of entertainment off the track as well to keep people happy. And look, mate, I'm counting the hours to this one already. Yeah. It should be a fantastic night down there. And, of course, all the fields form and expert tips at thedogs.com.au.
For sure. We look forward to the wash-up as well on Sunday morning. And I should mention, tomorrow morning, just after 10:30, you'll get your preview for Tabcorp Park, Meningle, and then straight after that at about a quarter to 11, Tim Newbold will join us to look at the big Peter Mosman 10-race card. And then on Sunday morning, you get Reflection at 10:30 on Chasing and Pacing Rewind. Thanks a lot, Stuart. Enjoy the weekend.
Good on you, mate.
Stuart Turner from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. So, as Racing HQ wraps up, we tell you at Randwick, a track inspection will take place at midday. As we told you, 65 mil in the last 24 hours. It's a heavy 10. Nevesh Ramdani told us it's the wettest that he's seen Randwick. The weather, still very overcast. There's rain around town, as we know. We'll talk to the key players later on in the morning once that track inspection takes place. As we told you with Nevesh Ramdani, the Australian Turf Club could well already be looking at options if they deem Randwick unsafe for racing. But that decision to come after midday today. Stay tuned to Sky Sports Radio. We'll give you the latest. For the Gold Coast tomorrow, for the Tats Tiara, that track has improved to a soft 7. Stay tuned for Sky Sports Radio weekend, but before then, plenty of good racing coming up, and Tab Talk is next, as I say, with Buzz Rothfield and with Brad Pengilly, with Sean and Glenn Munsey.
The Brothers War is by Warfront, one of the hottest young sires on the planet. Although from a classic staying family, the Brothers War was blessed with plenty of speed. The Brothers War was particularly chosen by Coringle for his pedigree and how well his bloodlines will complement so many mares in Australia. The Brothers War is from the same family as a host of black type horses and sires, including Dabawi. The Brothers War, standing his first season at Coringle Stud.
Harvey Norman massive half yearly clearance, 50 months interest free. That's zero interest and no deposit until July 2019. Technology, entertainment and home appliances, furniture, bedding in Manchester. 50 months interest free store wide. Zero interest, no deposit with 50 equal monthly payments until July 2019. Approved applicants only. Minimum finance amount $490. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. Shop in store and online. Harvey Norman massive half yearly clearance on now.
Go! And here's the kickoff. We're underway.
Your Sunday mornings are now sportier than ever. Join Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith when they bring you radio's best serve of sport and racing on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Right here from 6 a.m. Sundays on Sky Sports Radio. Your sports and racing leader.
Starter has the button. Stalls are back and racing.
Fields sent on their way to the roar of the crowd.
Set.
They're off. On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
Yes!
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And it is
Tab Saddle Up Sunday. Visit us.
10:03 with Sean Cosgrove and Glenn Munsey about to join us shortly too. It's Tab Talk this morning as well. And it's almost a day where we put the snorkel and flippers on to a degree because the rain is just everywhere. Glenn Munsey joins us now. I'm waiting to hear bloop, 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 bloop. Are you there, Muns?
Coming to you live from Manly Marineland here, Sean. Geez, so haven't we had some rain?
But the incredible thing is it's been everywhere. I mean, we've got meetings washed out in New Zealand. We've got them everywhere. Down around the border?
Yeah, and but if you have a look at the radar currently in Sydney, or the radar for the last sort of 24 hours, that major cell of rain basically sat from around about Kiama up until the central coast here in New South Wales. It has started to move north, and the major part of it is now right over the central coast, heading on its way up to Newcastle. Andrew, of course, told us about Newcastle, which will be covered on Sky Thoroughbred Central tomorrow, only having 1 mil of rain overnight. tight, but they're definitely receiving rain at the moment if you have a look at the radar. And it's very, very coastal. So that meeting, of course, at Dubbo called off today. We had Albury called off during the week. Of course, Gosford off today. Let's just hope this band of rain moves north and allows us to get racing conducted at Randwick tomorrow and also at Newcastle because... Well, we need these people to try and make a living, yeah. Sean, and get their horses there. And speaking about people making a living, best wishes to Priscilla Smith, who had a fall yesterday at Taree. She's got a broken arm and terrible. She's had a fairly bad run with injuries, but she did think she'd broken a leg as well. She's broken a leg before, and she thought she'd broken a leg again, but hopefully that she hasn't got that break. But good luck to Priscilla. And I hope she's on the mend probably a good couple of months away.
Alrighty, now Buzz Rothfield about to join us. Be interesting to see Buzz's take on the Greg Inglis try. There's a banana bender, I still reckon it. Well, they could have let it go, Buzz, couldn't they? Oh. Morning, Buzz.
Look, you know what? As far as I'm concerned, it was a clear knock forward by Queensland and taken by Inglis a metre offside. So it could have been a New South Wales penalty if they hadn't ruled the knock-on. So, look, and to even complain about the decision like the Courier Mail did on the front page with a headline in about 300 points, robbed. Look, I thought Mitchell Pearce's try was, I put it this way, I've seen tries given off worse forward passes than the one he took to score next to the stick. So, look, I think the decision's balanced out and New South Wales worthy winners.
Hey, Buzz, what a great atmosphere, though. 91,500.
Oh, sensational atmosphere. And good on the NRL, because in the media we've been very, very critical of them since Dave Smith and the commission came into power for, you know, a lot of the mistakes they've made, you know, with refereeing and scheduling, et cetera. But to get 91,000 there at the G, to get 4.5 million people watching on television, a wonderful result for the game. And if they didn't pick up new customers, you know, I'd be very surprised, because the quality of football was excellent too.
Well, Buzz, that's what I was going to say, the quality of football, but the openness of the football on Wednesday night, a just complete contrast to game one at ANZ.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember, Munns, in the Telegraph about 3 weeks ago, the day after Origin 1 in Sydney, which was, you know, just a slog fest, we ran 19 still images from Fox Sports of Queenslanders standing metres offside all night and not getting penalised. And at the time, Tony Archer said, oh, look, you know, we're overreacting, blah, blah, blah. But as it turned out, Todd Greenberg stepped in. He spoke to the referees before the game. He said he wanted a big 10 metres to penalise players early so they get the message. That's what we got. And it was just a wonderful advertisement for the game. And as I said, we'll get new customers out of that. Not just in Melbourne, but I think around the country.
Now, Buzz, of course, you know, plenty of always controversy and the like. You spoke about the Greg Inglis try. The conspiracy theorists, you know, brought forward, had Inglis been tackled, Josh Dugan tried to get him but fell over. But he's tackled there and Queensland score off the next play. That would have been a try. They wouldn't have gone back to look at that infringement.
No, well, that's right. And, you know, that's just one of the rules, you know, and I guess it happens quite often in the game, and often, you know, it's best to get tackled and, you know, so they don't go back and look at it, but it didn't happen. And look, New South Wales deserved to win. I see you've got them at $2.10. I reckon that's an outstanding price to win the series at Suncorp. I genuinely feel we have the better side now. I think their old boys are getting older. We've got Woods, Clemmer, Jennings, Dugan, the Morris boys, Gallen's inspiration. I just reckon we are now a better footy side. We beat them up there last year in one of two games, and $2.10, great price.
Well, mate, they've actually firmed up with the news yesterday afternoon, last night, that Billy Slater is out for the rest of the year. Greg Inglis will go to fullback, in your opinion, for Queensland?
Oh, yeah, I don't think they've got any other choice. He's almost the best fullback in the game at South, isn't he? He certainly was last year, and he's shown patches of that this year. They can't move Darius Boyd there. They can't do anything else. I think the player under pressure there is Dally Cherry-Evans, the $10 million man in the Queensland side, their halfback. I thought he was poor on Wednesday night in a team that struggled for cohesion. He didn't gel with Jonathan Thurston. And if Ben Hunt can have a big game for the Broncos, and I'm just looking at their game on the weekend against Melbourne Storm in Melbourne, I reckon he will come right into calculations, remembering he did play for the Kangaroos at the end of last year.
Yeah, but, well, of course, that is all very, very dependent on Cooper Cronk. You'd have to think Cooper Cronk would be available. So you're saying Ben Hunt would come into the side as the, well, basically as the reserve?
Yeah, that's right, yes.
Mm. Now, well, mate, what, in your opinion, won the game for New South Wales on Wednesday night? Just determination?
Yeah, Matt, and look, I said beforehand, I said on this show last week, we had Gallen and the world's best winger, Brett Morris, come back, and they lost Cooper Cronk. And the form line was that we're only beaten by a point the game before, and that was only because we stuffed up field goal chances, and had Gallen played and we'd had the right leadership, they wouldn't have stuffed up the field goal. So I just thought we were a great bet, and I thought we'd get them in the forwards. As I said before, there's not a better pairing in the game than Woods, Clem, Australian, James Tarmo, Gallen. You know, these great edge back rowers they've got. Hoffman had a blinder the other night, and that's why, I was very confident, and I'm very confident about Brisbane.
Mate, to me, especially when he trotted out there the other night, David Clemmer, mate, he reminded me very, very much of a young Mark Geyer.
Yeah, you know what? I think he's even more explosive than Geyer. Geyer was a really fiery, type of player. But this guy, I reckon's even bigger and stronger and madder. And as you saw on that was a Good Friday at ANZ Stadium, the way he approached the referee and learned a valuable lesson that day. And I just think this guy at 20 years of age, I don't think Mark Geyer was as good at 20 years of age, put it that way.
Buzz, when you look at the other night at the State of Origin, the crowd was predominantly against New South because being in Melbourne, they felt that way. You'd reckon going to Queensland isn't going to worry the Blues boys. That home ground advantage thing, that's really not going to apply that much, would you reckon, going there? Because it was the same field the other night.
Yeah, well, that's right. And, Gallen got the massive boos when, he left the field and came back on, et cetera, et cetera. Look, obviously it helps Queensland playing up there like it does us at ANZ Stadium. As I said, we beat them in game one up there last year. These kids, and I don't think there's a fear factor involved in their preparation for games anymore. And they've had great camps in Coffs Harbour. They arrive about 48 hours before the game. They'll ignore the Queensland media and the madness of the Courier Mail. And look, I think, it's the same size as the MCG. It's the same size as ANZ Stadium at the end. And if you can block that, Queensland atmosphere out of the game, which I think they can, I think they'll win.
Buzz, sorry, Sean, go on.
I was just going to say, but just finally on the Greg Inglis business, I mean, we all have a joke, as we have banana business, and go, whatever. But the bottom line is, they brought the video ref in to do a job. You wouldn't bet on a race unless you had a photo finish. And, the technology there to decide who's won. So I suppose it's the same thing. You've got to use the technology when it's there to decide whether or not it is going to be a try or not.
Yeah, of course. And a lot of people complain about technology and holds up the game. I don't mind a game being held up as long as we're going to get the right decisions. And, there were a couple of really close calls there the other night. Even the, Josh Morris tried to get downward pressure on me. Certainly had his little finger on it, but... and they went with the referee, his call. Had the referee said no try, in his opinion, it would have been a no try. It's just part of the game now. I'm hoping the new bunker they're looking at setting up will speed up the decisions. They won't be relying on the TV directors. They'll have their own screens, and I just hope it can be speeded up. But anything that's going to get correct decisions being made, I think we've got to applaud.
Well, mate, how long, if and when they do bring in the bunker, will we have one Philip Rothfield sitting in there? Because that seems to be your method of operation now. Anywhere there's a new function, you're at the Star Casino on Wednesday night there, mixing with the public.
And I was at TAB headquarters before I went there.
Yeah, so...
What about your office, mate? How good are you going?
Yeah, well, they're just actually putting the spa and the steam room in today, Buzz, because they've noticed I'm getting a little bit podgy.
Is that
around the middle, far too many lunches. But
Before I took the photo of your desk and put it on Twitter, I did ensure there was nothing inappropriate
back
there.
Back in a sec, guys. Just jumped a tarky in the rain.
Garcon Du had no early speed at Rangi Pol back in the last three as well. Now, one of the first out was Celtic Cross going forward with El Caldessa. Handy early through the middle is Ipanema. And Le Petit Rouge over on the outside lying fourth from five to midnight. And then came Prodigal Son a length away. A length and a half to Rangi Pol, followed there by Attila. And about five lengths away to Garcon Du, who was the last one. Coming down the side now, and it's Ipanema over on the outside of Celtic Cross. They match motors out in front. Lying third over on the outside is El Caldessa, Le Petit Rouge in behind them, and coming out wider is Prodigal Son, tracked along by Attila. Five to midnight, Justin behind the speed, followed by Rangi Pol. And last of all, coming to the turn is Garcon Du. Turning for home now, and they've got about 400 metres left to go. And Ipanema just holds sway in front of Celtic Cross. Three out on them is El Caldessa, followed by five to midnight, a length away, Rangi Pol. Back behind those runners then came Garcon Du, and right down the outside, Prodigal Son. The leader is Celtic Cross over on the inside. Margin and Eck, five to midnight, way out wider. Ipanema's still there. And then came El Caldessa and Prodigal Son down the outside. It's five to midnight in front, floating about. It is muddy as ever, but is going to lie towards the line to win by two lengths. Second over Prodigal Son, El Caldessa ran third, and fourth in was Ipanema, followed by Rangi Pol. And then we had Garcon Du back in behind those runners with the Celtic Cross, who faded quickly. Le Petit Rouge and Attila back towards the rear of the field.
1-5 at 8 over the line, and 1-5 to midnight, 350-155, Prodigal Son, 270 at 8, El Caldessa, $3.80, 1-5-8 there, Buzz.
Now, looking at tonight's game, Buzz, Manly and the West Tigers. No Jamie Lyon for Manly. We'll have no Robbie Farah for the West Tigers. Aaron Woods expected to back up. But the West Tigers, a terrible record there, Brookie.
Yeah, mate, I know they've got a terrible record, you know, but I'm not all that worried about it. It's going to be, you know, a miserable place there tonight, you know, to play footy. But I reckon your bookies have got this wrong. I reckon the West Tigers, they're $2.50, are they?
Yeah, still $2.50. They bet $3 about them. If the West Tigers turn up from last Friday night against South...
That's what I'm saying. They were not a hope of beating South last week. I don't care what anyone says, and anyone who backed them had no respect for money, in my opinion. But the way they just demolished South, and South were only without Greg Inglis. And to come up $2.50 against the team that's running last, without Jamie Lyon, as you said, with a very, very ordinary forward pack, which is stopping Manly getting any sort of go forward or progress this year, I think the West Tigers are a really big chance of winning tonight.
Well, mate, some other strange, well, people would say strange markets. We look at Saturday, Canberra favourite over the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, look, Raiders, you know, you've got to look at their last performance against Newcastle up in Newcastle, and they put on 40 points. And, you know, they've got a fresh footy team going to this game. They've had a week off and then a week's preparation. There's, if you look at the Cowboys side, they fill half the Origin team. You know, Thurston took a bit of a battering the other night. Matt Scott, James Tarmo. You know, they had a really tough workout. I'm not surprised about that. I think that's a pretty fair market, and I think Canberra a good chance of knocking them over.
Right, what about your boys? There'll be no Paul Gallen for Cronulla on Sunday against Newcastle, who are absolutely desperate for a win.
Yeah, again, look, I thought this was an even money bet, so if you were... And they've put up Cronulla at $2.20 and the Knights at $1.70. It is one of those danger games for Cronulla. They seem to lift against the big side. They've beaten South this year. They've beaten the Roosters twice. And they did beat Newcastle comfortably when they met at Ramonda Stadium. I think they're going to be very hard to beat Newcastle, though. It's probably their last real chance. There's a lot of players up there. They've lost Joey Leilua during the week to the Canberra Raiders, and their season's basically on the line on Sunday, and they're going to be very hard to beat the Knights.
Yeah, and Melbourne will now know Cronk, no Slater, outsiders, $2.40 outsiders to Brisbane down there on Sunday.
Yeah, you know what, Munton, this is what annoys me about State of Origin side, the effect it has on some clubs, while, you know, others, you know, get away, you know, I know the Warriors have got a couple of players, but, you know, not everyone provides, you know, the heart and soul of their footy team, basically their spine to Origin like Melbourne have. And to ask them to go into this game with Smith backing up, no Cronk, you know, no Billy Slater, I think it's a really tough ask, and it's unfair on Melbourne Storm and their fans. And I think Brisbane, even at the $1.65, are a special there on Sunday.
And Monday night footy will be a good one. The Dragons, $2.65, outsiders to the Chookies, $1.50. Michael Jennings, you said he played all 40 in the paper, and he Fandingham came out there and looked as though he was 18.
Mate, wasn't he sensational? You know, his first seven touches of the footy.
Seven line breaks, I think.
Yeah, seven line breaks, seven tackle busts. He had an absolutely super game of footy in Origin, deserved man of the match. I think the Roosters will be too strong. The disappointing thing for me is this game is on a Monday night where they'll get 10,000 at Allianz, because the last time when they played in the day on Anzac Day, they got 45,000. Monday night just doesn't draw crowds. St George are coming back after a last start loss to the Bulldogs. I think the Roosters can get them. I think Mitch Pearce will get great confidence out of Origin. They are without their front rowers. Sam Moa suspended. Wurra Hargraves is crook. But I still think they've got enough forward depth to get away, but it will be a great game of footy.
Best bet of the weekend?
I think the West Tigers tonight at the price. What's the start there, mate? Better than 90.
The original start was 7.5, the line in that game. The 7.5 line now, West Tigers are into $1.65. So if you go to the super line market, in the super line market, the closest one to, it's 4.5 start, West Tigers, $1.95.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that their odds have been slashed at the 7.5. I really think they'll win outright tonight, and it'd be a great way to start your weekend multis by having something on them.
Well, good luck to you, and you'll see that game live on Channel 9 tonight. It'll kick off somewhere between 7.40 and 7.55.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, Buzz. Go the Blues.
I'm seeing your office there, mate, and putting it out there on Twitter. Well,
yeah, thanks for that. Yeah. And, mate, I've been in the office 2 days in a row. You missed that bit of news that was sent out as a press release from Tabcorp Holdings that I have attended in 2 days in a row.
You don't want to see him. You don't want to see him in the spa, though, Buzz. I'll give you the tip. It's not
see
good.
See you, gentlemen.
See you, bye. 10:22. Sky Sports Radio. Brad Pengelly's back, which is good news. I'll tell you what. If anyone deserves to ride a winner or two, it's this guy. Munts. He has had a battle with weight for a while, and in a moment we'll rattle off a few of the things he's put himself through to get his weight down. And he's about to join us, Brad. I know, going back a few years ago, he was actually doing Bikram yoga, which is one of the toughest ones you can do. He was also in a 40-degree room, like a steam room, which is probably like you've got in your office there.
Yeah, in the office. I'm going to offer it. You can come down. I don't know whether he's tried the rain suit in the manure pit. We'll have to ask him that one.
Yeah.
That's an old-style one, that one.
Yeah, I don't know whether he'd be real keen on that. He used to run at least 10K a day as well, do the 90-minute Bikram yoga classes in a room heated to over 40 degrees, and that ride and track work 7 days a week to get that weight down. We're just waiting to get Brad, and once we get him online here, we'll have a quick chat to him. I'll tell you what, it makes you appreciate the effort the jocks put in.
Yeah, and it just goes to show you, once it's in their blood, now Brad turned it up because of weight problems and probably had, well, I think he had well over 12 months off, and made a return probably around about 3 months ago now up there on the Gold Coast. And, you know, it's very, very hard to get it out of your blood. And, well, of course, we had Patrick Murphy after his ride at Cessnock on Tuesday. He said that's enough for him.
Yeah.
He's just finding it very, very difficult at the moment, especially, and it's much, much harder in winter. Now, Patrick lives in Goulburn, so you're not getting the situations where Brad's up on the Gold Coast there. The weather's a bit kinder, and you know yourself, Sean, in wintertime, you're finding it very, very difficult to sweat. You're finding it difficult to keep the weight off. So Patrick has turned it up, but he's done a few things, Patrick, to give himself a chance. So I think he'll stay involved in racing. Of course, he's the son of Lindsay Murphy and the brother of Jill Murphy, who helps us out on track for Sky Thoroughbred Central. So he's got racing all around him.
He has. Now, as I mentioned, 10K a day, Bikram yoga for 90 minutes, rooms over 40 degrees. Brad Pengelly joins us. Morning, Brad.
Good morning, boys.
Hey, how the hell did you do that? That was just a list. That was the shopping list from a couple of years ago, what you were up to keep your weight down.
Yeah, well, I had 3 years off, actually, and gave me obviously a good time to assess how, and obviously program it, what sort of different routines I can sort of incorporate into my losing the weight, so to speak, you know, and it's amazing when you're off the scenes how much you do learn. And it was vitally essential vitally essential for me to for my longevity of my career to change things, obviously. And it gives you a chance to in my case, finish off the career that I in the manner in which I always wanted to, you know.
Brad, if you were walking around just and put the nose bag on and ate normally, what would you get to?
Oh, I always sort of got up to 60, over 60 sort of thing when I'd sort of just lived normally. And in the time that I had off, I got up to 70 kilos pretty quick. And you know, that was just pretty much sort of eating what I wanted and just living like a normal person, so to speak, you know. But I kept into the industry. I kept writing work throughout the time that I was off, obviously, for an income. And I worked for Gay for a number of years there, 2 years there at her stable, and obviously riding quite a few horses in the morning, your weight tends to come down a little bit, you know, and it's when it was about July 2014 when I started to really get serious on considering a comeback, and I needed to. I then started to just eat like as if I was riding, and the weight sort of responded in the way that I wanted it to. And as I got closer towards Christmas last year, I took my license out and did a number of trials, and just to sort of in preparation for Queensland, because I was always planning. Queensland is good for me with regards to the climate, and I'm able to ride a little bit lighter, more consistently. And so in preparation for that, I got through a number of trials and moved up here in May.
And Brad, Glenn Munsey, mate, how are you?
Good, thank you, Glenn.
Mate, and congratulations. You rode a winner, of course, for Rob Heathcote at Doomben on Wednesday. So you have ridden winners. But, mate, you're not afraid to travel while you're up there. You rode at the Sunny Coast. You rode in Brisbane. You're quite happy to get around and do your best.
Yeah, it's pretty important, Glenn. I'm just easing myself into the situation. It's pretty important not to ride too light too soon. And I've just been riding 57, 56 and a half at the moment. And doing that really well. I'm sort of, you know, different sort of ways of approaching losing weight, so to speak, that I've learnt. And it's really, really progressing quite well. I plan to sort of get to town soon. So it was important for me to come up here throughout the winter. So if I get my weight anywhere near where I need it to be throughout the winter, I think I'll go pretty well throughout the summer, yeah.
I noticed, you know, you kicked off basically riding on the Saturday programs there at the Gold Coast. Was that just to ease yourself back in, get yourself, you know, get your feeling, get your touch back, and also give yourself a bit of confidence?
Definitely, Ben. It's pretty important to, you know, you might think that you're ready, do you know what I mean? But you do need a few rides under your belt to sort of to get focused and just to get back into the swing of things, so to speak. And you know, it's very competitive no matter where you go, you know, and you need to be sharp and you know, I needed a few rides in order to fine tune all that and as I say, I'm slowly progressing and in a couple of weeks' time I'll be frequently in town for sure.
Now, Brad, this isn't the first time you've had a crack at doing this. Has your approach to the food intake and what you're eating and so forth now with the advances in technology and as in, you know, dietitians and so forth, are you doing it differently now to what you've done in the past or not?
Yeah, that was paramount, Sean, I plan to sort of ride, you know, I think I've got a good 8 to 10 years left in me and the eating, the way of eating is essentially the most important thing. You know, I try to only eat little meals, but I try to eat up to four meals a day now. Obviously training very hard, but I try and make a point of just trying to get that little bit of food in, just mainly for my, you know, for your metabolism and so on. And you know, it's proving to be a step in the right direction for me, for sure.
And it's a mental thing too. You've got to eat, otherwise you go crazy. And there's nothing worse, I'd imagine, than sitting down to a bit of brown rice or one slice of tomato.
Yeah, well, you know, in the time that I had off, you know, I used to think about what I used to do and how, you know, like. It's frustrating to think because you know you're doing it the wrong way, sort of thing. But you do your best, sort of thing. But you learn, you know. And fortunately for me, it's not too late, and And, you know, it's just so important to eat as much as you can. And you know, you know, you can't eat too much and or drink too much, intake too much fluid and so on. But, yeah, if you... I just...